you feel differently or heard differently, and obviously anybody at the round tables too, but my understanding is that a number of drivers carry both, largely because they're trying to get discounts in different places, or things like that.
So they may carry multiple.
They'll carry multiple transponders, and then they'll switch them out if they enter different parts of the country, even within the E-ZPass groups, although it's less common in the E-ZPass groups. And then I think that some of the trans, well, let me just deal with that. But that they do, they carry multiple and they switch them out.
But so we've got a survey out to other tolling organizations. Mm-hmm. Is there something that we should be sending to, I mean, obviously we had roundtable participants who may have had a national reach. I don't know how much they really spoke, though, for kind of a national or perspective outside of Illinois. Should we be sending a survey to the fleet manager in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, something else?
Well, I'm wondering what percentage of the issues that we have and the time that we spend with our call center is on accounts that are not Illinois-based accounts.
We have rough data on that, mm-hmm. and I think it's probably about 20%. But I mean, it's not usually issues. We're not giving them customer service the way that we would most of our own customers.
Well, they would be calling if they had a violation, right?
Correct. Or some sort of dispute on their own I-Pass account. They feel their I-Pass transponder and their E-ZPass transponder, if they carry both, got charged. But I don't actually think that it happens that much. We don't, and our disputes process that we streamlined the other year, it does have a section in it that says if you're, if you received a notice and you're an E-ZPass customer, here are the steps you need to follow.
So the reason I was asking was just because things like sending the violation to the wrong place or having it go to the driver rather than the company, if there are accounts, is there a way that we can design our system when they register, which doesn't let them put in data that, or put it positively, will cause them to put in the data that will not cause those problems later down the line?
Yeah, I think
our system will get better, a little better.
But I also think that isn't it a matter of if it's a violation, then we didn't find an account. So if it's a violation that they received, we're looking it up based on a license plate because we didn't find that account attached to that license plate, so we have to go to the DMV, mm-hmm. and then it's whoever's registered at the at the DMV.
But it may be that they do have an account with us. They just have it entered.
Correct, with the license plate on it.
Which is why I'm wondering if there's a way we can make it more likely that they will give us the right information at the point that they begin entering the system. Somehow, if our system...
To set up an I-Pass account, you mean?
Or to add something to an I-Pass account, or... I don't know how to do it. I'm just thinking if you have a lot of vehicles, and what we want is a kind of uniformity about the way that they handle that account, is there a way that we can more stringently make them be more uniform?
You might not know the answer to this question because I certainly don't. I've had experience purchasing, a vehicle, and you get your license plate right there at the dealership, or you can. How do fleets, particularly in Illinois, get their plates? Do they, purchase their new truck for their fleet, or and they get it at the point of the dealer, or do they put in a batch order to the Secretary of State? Do we know how that happens?
What do we do at the toll booth when we get our new trucks?
With the U and the U plates that we put on them? I don't know.
Well, we'd probably get those all through the state.
Yeah, we would. I just don't. Yeah. We wouldn't get them with the dealer because it's the specialty.
I've heard of fleet managers make a comment, I'm ordering new plates. It seems like it is an office, not an individual driver going, picking up their own plate, but it is maybe a regional office, their fleet manager ordering new plates for their individual set of trucks. But there still could be a national office that processes the billing. So that's something that's in the round table, some of that time to take from a local office, regional office, to their finance department, and back and forth to validate the violations.
I'm just thinking something as easy as having a box that you check when you're registering that says, is this part of a fleet? Yes, you check the box, it takes you to something else on the form. If you check no, then it makes you just, you just fill out the form the way you would any individual.
I think that potentially would be great in Illinois. I think a lot of these plates come from other states. These fleets have plates from all over. So then it would be, it's just a complexity.
But if they have IPAS accounts. So maybe we can, it's worth it, I think, to...
Well, of course, the plates are from all over, but it's our account. That's why I asked the first question I asked.
So when they're registering for their account, not when they're registering their car with the DMV.
Yeah, no. When they're registering for their account, you...
But I think we need to remind them, right? Because one of the issues is the plates aren't making it onto the account. So what can be done?
So maybe when they get their first violation, once we find out they're part of a fleet, what goes out to them that says, you pay your fine, and by the way,
add this to your
fleet account, and maybe you want to even create a separate if they don't do it after such a period of time. The customer service committee says, well, we're going to fine you, they're not doing it.
Right.
Put that under a different one.
Just follow up. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, one of the issues, and I think just to kind of, is what we need to engage in is, when Shauna and I were talking about this prior to the meeting, I think she talked about it as being a smart search that has to be. It's not something that where we have uniform information that's going into these databases. So let's say you're looking up ABC Corporation, because ABC Corporation has an account with us and they're officed out of Chicago, and ABC out of Downers Grove bought a truck. They purchased it, and when their fleet manager or whoever was that bought the truck, they registered down to their Downers Grove office. Whether they should have or shouldn't from an internal standpoint is irrespective of that. And they listed it as the corporation of ABC. Just, they flipped it around. So when they get a new plate that doesn't show up, when we just go through, and even if we were to run it, we need to run a pretty broad search in order to comply with that part. So I think, you know, a lot of these issues are still going to be there, and we need to kind of figure out how to do that. Well, the question is, how do we get them when they're filling it out? There needs to be some uniform in how they handle it so that we can hook up the Chicago and Downers Grove.
But I'm thinking if we have that capacity in our system where they put in their license plate and then they checked a thing that says, yes, I'm part of a fleet, and then the next thing says, enter the fleet name, and they entered BCA instead of ABC, then the system says to them, we have no such fleet listed in our records.
Okay.
So then they have to think. I am making this up.
No, that's
the first
good.
Thing about
keep,
it.
No, you keep, I, that's good.
But
I
I'm
keep
just
going.
Thinking that in this, if we have a lot of capacity in this new system, that what we really want is to cause people to do this in a uniform way. Because what causes, it sounds like what causes us the problems, as in part, are the, what I would call mistakes. And then, they put in one location for one set of trucks and a different location for another set of trucks.
And you see that, you know, it's a good point. You see it in banking, right? I mean, I do electronic banking and check and bill pay, and, you know, you'll type in the information and it'll say we don't have a match, but here's the match, and they'll have maybe
that's
a
right.
more specific, they'll add street instead of leaving that blank, or they'll have
the last four digits
of the zip code.
Because ultimately, Paula, to your point, I mean, the uniformity, it will benefit not only us, but it's a customer service experience that it benefits both parties. And I guess my other question, because you're talking about using technology, I know we're making some investments in some high-tech technological systems. I guess theoretically, I would think that would have the capability to do something like that.
Yeah, it should, and that's one of the reasons we want to continue to have these discussions over the next year, because that system's being developed now. And let's, you know, think through and identify places where we want to.
And bring in the customers again in your group and say,
test something out.
You know, this is the way we're thinking about doing this, and
right.
How onerous is this, or what problems do you see with it?
I still also think, though, that maybe there's something to, and we've tried this before, but maybe we kind of reinvigorate these efforts to see what we can do to remind people at the point of getting the plates.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they're the individuals with the auto dealers, or in this case the fleets, and however they end up getting their plates, you know, is there something that could be included in the Secretary of State packaging, or if there's some intermediary that they get their plates from, something that reminds them that these all needed. If you have a transponder account, all these plates need to be added to it, absent a direct link to DMVs. Which I think we've thought about in the past, but just the technology isn't always there for them to be able to integrate easily with that kind of system.
So we're talking about sort of 9,000 accounts, if I'm wrong.
But it would be more plate. It would be every time a plate went out to a commercial vehicle or to a large corporation or something. I don't know. Or maybe every time a new plate goes out, period, if we could.
That's where Director Dotson's FAQs come in, right? Something like
sure.
that.
Yes.
When we ask questions.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm making note of all these ideas.
You can rip them off.
I assume you can immediately dismiss
them. Some of them actually are things that we can definitely pursue with newer technologies and everything else coming into play. Some of them will be a little harder.
Or revisit. I know some things we've talked about with outside entities in the past, but maybe there's an opportunity to revisit something.
So, but to the chair's point of forcing people to standardize the way they enter,
yes.
One thing that I love, kind of a nerdy way about the new system, is that an end user, whether or not they're doing self-service or if they're calling in the end user as a CSR, really will be forced through fields. You can't leave a screen until you fill out the field. This field will only accept this number of characters, and it will not let you off the screen if you, you know, fat finger something in an obvious way. I mean, obviously people still do accidental reversals and stuff like that, but I think it might really help.
I love that. That's the first time I've heard that term.
Fat finger. nice way of saying you make a mistake, I guess.
Yeah. I like that.
Data entry error.
I'm glad you like that, because I always feel going to be punished when a red thing comes up and it says, go back, do this right.
That's always me. I never get my email addresses to match up. I type it in once and then I mistype.
And are we using 10 as our?
That was.
Is that our just our number that we think qualifies, or then these issues come in?
That's how we chose to use it for this. Even if you choose another approach in terms of the amount of tolls that people pay every month for transactions that they have, or whether or not they mark themselves commercial, you always come up with about this breakdown. Okay. So it's a way to define fleet.
And I think that as we embark on this, that's going to be an important part of doing that, because, you know, there are households that end up with a lot of cars and transponders depending on what they're doing.
Yeah,
so,
especially if they don't close them out.
So, yeah, we need to be judicious, I guess, in figuring that out.
I think we have some other questions here, but I don't know. You know, they were really just to spark discussion, and I know we've had quite a bit of discussion. I don't know if there's anything else we want to particularly talk about. Or
it sounds like you have some good ideas to kind of get going to start with.
I assume you were way ahead of us, and that the second sentence in the second dot point is to suggest that might be a way to drive people toward these intermediaries. The intermediaries are making money off of this process, but it costs more to use the tollway. More people, I think, would use the intermediaries, assuming that they know about it.
I don't know that we were actually thinking that, but it's a good point. I think we were thinking more, you know, for instance, large fleets that do excessive video tolling and clearly aren't putting transponders in vehicles, even if they have plates registered. You know, there is some risk to us in that, and, you know, should we at some point or some threshold maybe be thinking about fees for fleets that are, you know, not seeing a lot of transponders registering? I don't, you know, and should those, or certain fees for this specialized customer service that we're talking about, these special runs of, you know, kind of reverse lookups based on company names, you know, those aren't easy things for us to do necessarily. It's a little bit labor intensive. Maybe it'll be easier in a new system, but you know, should you get so many of those a year and maybe then charge after a certain point, kind of like your checking account where you get so many wire transfers or whatever, and then after a certain point you have to start paying for them.
And I think that would be an appropriate course after, once you get something, a solid system in place.
To think about what a fee structure might be, but to improve the system first.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as to this last dot point, do other jurisdictions do things like this? Do they distinguish among the different types of fees?
Yeah.
Lee, to our knowledge, no. But we're about to try to find a little bit more about it through the survey process. To our knowledge, no.
Anything in particular we want to make sure we understand from the survey? I think we've gotten some good ideas, but any other?
I think we just need to, and I'll go to that last point. I think we need to get an idea of what it is that would be the issues that kind of differentiate between those two that would be, you know, provide for some benefit from our side to making a separation. Otherwise, if they're not that significant, I'm not sure the differentiation of the classification may create more work for no real payoff.
Can we go back to your point about the drivers carrying all kinds of different transponders?
Mm-hmm.
Why? How did they get the discount? Why? Well, let me just start with that question. When you say they try to get a discount, it sounds to me as if, you know, for us as an industry, it would be nice if somebody just registered in one place and used that transponder. So what have we done to create incentives for people to carry a whole, we meaning all everybody in the towing industry, carrying more than one transponder?
This is a growing interoperability issue, and it doesn't impact us the way that it impacts the East Coast, where everybody will live just neighborhoods apart, but they'll have multiple choices of Easy Pass. They can register in different parts of New Jersey. They can register in different parts of New York, all for an Easy Pass, but depending on their zip code and their registered account, they'll get different discounts. So the drivers who do a lot of local delivery out there are especially prone to carrying multiple transponders.
So you literally pay a less toll depending on where your transponder is registered?
For some toll organizations. We don't have that sort of thing.
Even locally, I mean, there would be the 3-cent difference.
New Jersey is one of the ones that shows up.
You know, getting back to our Indiana issue.
And that surcharge.
I mean,
but these are more kind of a local discount. I mean, we've opted. Our customer base is so commuter focused here that we've opted to give the cash versus electronic discount for passenger vehicles, not so much for commercial or big trucks, but for passenger vehicles. So, but yeah, with all those different business rules across all the different systems, even among the Easy Pass states, sometimes there's a benefit to having the, you know, New Jersey, I keep using that example.
It's the one that shows up in the newspaper.
Right, example, to having that specific Easy Pass transponder as well as others.
So you would just think if we're having this problem in places that have multiple transponders within one jurisdiction, would have it much greater, and wouldn't it be to their benefit to try to eliminate that problem? Maybe politics doesn't.
I think they'd try to talk to each other to eliminate it.
But I will now take I am invigorated by this discussion and direction by our board, and I will reassert our strong feeling that the customer experience should be as synchronized or consistent across all of the different agencies, that's a big part of interoperability, and we shouldn't.
And it's a big part of customer service, as
it
you
is.
Say. That
yeah. Kind of that consistency of expectations, right. Knowing how to, you know that if you're speeding in Illinois or speeding in a different state, you know, there's some consistency in the expectation of what that
right.
will result in.
And so the same thing should be true for, I mean, particularly in a place where there are a lot of different transponders, you would think that the cost that the agencies incur in sorting all of this stuff out would be exponentially increased. Right? So mm-hmm. it's hard for us, but you would think it would be in their self-interest to figure out how to make it more uniform.
In some regards, I think some people, you know, found it an easier way to increase tolls or do other things by, you know, having these differentials, these differentiated groups.
But I think to your point, Chrissy, I mean, I think I like the committee you sit on. It sounds like, you know, improving the technology. I mean, those are two broad goals that positively reflect probably, you know, and this, I could see this being a logical next step, but making sure the technology works, and I think the other one you mentioned, the other.
Right, continue. Kind of the technology and the change of money. That's what, you know, that's kind of the first, the accounts, right? And
yeah,
how people are paying across the different systems. So, yes, I will tell them that our board is adamant that we should be thinking about the customer experience too. So good.
There are just the final slide has to do with some other potential topics over the coming years. Since January, it seems perhaps useful to remind ourselves some of the things we'll be dealing with at the committee, quite likely. The violation enforcement cameras will be working through procurement throughout the year to obtain a number of them, test them against one another, and then ultimately contract for new cameras that would replace all of our existing cameras system-wide. Our cameras at present, some of which, some are no longer manufactured, and they're all quite old in the world of cameras, so it's time. New lane maintenance services, that has to do with the fact that in the middle of 2015, our current contract with ETC for our lane services and our hardware and software is expiring, and we'll need to go to the marketplace. And then a new automatic toll payment machine. Anyone who's used a coin basket has probably thought to themselves, even fleetingly, coin basket still? So we realized that it's probably time to move to machines that accept credit cards and that do a little bit more than a coin machine can.
Well, I think practically speaking, the coin machines also, it's a technology, if you can call it that, that just doesn't, it's not even being manufactured anymore, it's not supported, it's hard for us to get replacement parts if things break down, so we do have to think about what the next generation technology is if we're going to continue to accept, you know, cash or non-transponder payments, non-electronic transponder
right.
payments on our system.
Right. We'll come to the committee from time to time with kind of an ongoing, the ongoing implementation of SAP throughout the year as the new back office system, letting everybody know how that's going and updating you on some of the developments. Grace period tolling improvements and innovations. We have continued to work through some improvements to our website that we'll probably be able to show everybody shortly and just let you know of kind of a new and expanded customer service around that. Settlement guidelines we spoke to earlier, they're just up for discussion again in May when they expire. All electronic tolling introduction and enforcement, and that's the first big interchange for that will be 294-27, which is coming up, I think, in the fall. And then towing and recovery, we'll want to close the loop on from our last discussion.
We do think at some point some of these have some overlap with strategic planning, so we were going to think about a joint, certainly at least one joint committee meeting, and maybe get make sure that we've got a broad perspective from both groups since they have touches in all the different areas. So those were some things, obviously open to any other ideas, but these were just some thoughts in no particular, I think, priority order, just letting you know what's coming, but also some things that maybe we would be discussing over the coming year or could.
No, thank you. Are there any other comments? I do appreciate it. I like to start with the checklist of things that we've gone over, we've done. Sean is probably ready to get rid of some of those. I like to still see the list of things that we've actually accomplished.
You one of those first people that create the list just so you can check things?
When my wife puts together the weekend to-do list, if it's not on the list, I'm not doing it. If I don't get to cross it off.
We're all glad we're not married to you.
There's no
answer. That's not on public record.
That's twice you've gotten me. I'm going to spend all week till Thursday.
When you're not sharing. I have another question. Do we know what the trends are in terms of violations? I mean, is that something that's reported regularly?
With respect to...
Are we getting more violations? Are we getting less violations? Are people settling earlier? How many calls does it take? Do we have is our system just not capable yet of gathering that kind of data?
Some of it, but not all of it, right?
I think it might be good information for us to be thinking about on this committee, just so we can see, as we're starting to change some of the variables on the policy side, if we can begin to measure whether or not it has any impact, and it has the impact that we think we were intending. This is something we frequently do not do in public policy. We just change the policy and then assume that we did the right thing. And why do we want to ask, did it work?
And then people 5 years or 10 years down the road change it again.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then they say, what could they have been thinking back?
Right.
One last, just a quick question on the list. And I apologize again because I kept the last meeting early, but I was under the, I guess, the idea that the towing and recovery piece was finished with the investigation.
Oh, I think that's finished. I think this was more about coming back, because we talked about the fact that we were going to, I think, look at the zones, right? And
we looked at zones, vendors.
Mm-hmm. And put out a solicitation for new agreements later this year, and maybe some of the, you know, things that we should be thinking about are components of that. So it was more those, this, the, you know, the issue that rose up that we then wanted to bring and talk to about with this board in particular has been, I think, resolved, settled.
Okay.
So it's kind of the policy implications that came out of that particular incident, I think, that we're now trying to focus on.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Sorry, we were trying to end.
No, that's okay. No, I mean, yeah, that was a kind of a two-fold discussion. We had the incident, and then we moved into the second part, which was policy, and going forward, how do we improve? And I think that's kind of what our focus has been when it comes to all of these issues as it comes before this committee. Identify the issue as it comes forward. As we resolve that, we want to see what we can do moving forward to eliminate that as an issue going forward. And I think that's what that discussion was born out of.
Understood. Thank you, sir.
That being said, anything else? Further, Christy? Okay, business systems, we have nothing. Hearing unfinished business. Any new business? I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. We stand in adjournment. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.